Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
I felt to talk to you this morning about a skill set for hope. Just really, as Bob was saying, we're entering into a different season. It really feels that way. So let's leave the old season of how we processed hope and go into a new season. Because we're ambassadors of hope. In 1 Peter 3:15, it says, "But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, and do it with gentleness and respect." So we're always supposed to be ambassadors of hope. And the best thing is when there's crazy circumstances going around and you're trusting the Lord, and people don't think that anybody should be trusting the Lord because things are going crazy. And when you do, they're going to ask you, "What's your hope? Why are you not reacting this way?" And so it's always really good for us to be ambassadors of hope. And in 1 Peter 1:3, it talks about us being born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we have a living hope. You know, there's such a clash between a cultural hope and a kingdom hope. The cultural hope is a wish, or it's a desire, or it's a longing for something. Boy, I hope I get that new iPhone, right? Or I hope I get this new thing. It's rooted in like self-centeredness at times. It's rooted in envy. You know, people want stuff because other people have stuff, and so there's this weird kind of hope thing. And cultural hope also says, "Well, hope that works out for you." You know, and so there's no like faith in a cultural hope. It's like, "Boy, I just hope that works out for you. Good luck with that," you know. But a kingdom hope is so different. It's a joyful anticipation of the good. It's a condition of excitement before something that comes from God alone. And it's an expectation of a promise fulfilled by God. That's a kingdom hope. And I was really surprised by a definition in Webster's Dictionary. It says, "To leap in expectation." I use the old Webster's Dictionary. Those are still kind of sanctified from the 60s and the 70s. There's a lot of scripture and there's a lot of biblical truths in the old Webster's Dictionary. I don't use the new ones. But I thought, man, to leap in expectation. Kingdom hope. It has a voice, and it says, "My circumstances might deny a reason for hope, but I am a Christian, and I serve a God who does impossible things." Amen? "My circumstances might look hopeless, but nothing is hopeless in my Lord." Amen? And so then there's this word hopeless, where people get into this place sometimes of being hopeless. And we're surrounded by people who are hopeless all the time. And it's like, well, how do you pull them out of that place? And it's allowing no hope, it's causing despair, it's giving to the accompanying emotions where something is impossible to solve or to deal with. And people who are hopeless, they have absolutely no expectation as a good outcome. And they say, "What's the point? It's never going to work out." And so the unfortunate thing is that the hopelessness is really contagious, and you got to like keep that over there, you know? Keep that over there. I don't want that. But hope says there's no situation of any kind that you are facing, that you were not prepared for, where God doesn't have the answer and a plan for you. Amen? We'll read that again. There's no situation of any kind that you're facing, that you were not prepared for, where God doesn't have the answer and a plan for you. You know, some of you right now are probably facing impossible situations. There's health things going on. There's finances, jobs, and cars, and kids, and all kinds of stuff going on that feels weighty and it feels heavy. You're like, "God, where are you in the midst of this?" But nothing is hopeless with the Lord because of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. There is no reason for us to ever feel hopeless at all. But there's a time when the Lord wants us to be able to get into a place where he has a plan and a purpose for us. And he has a way to partner with him in the reason of the hope that we're looking for in a situation. So we have to be able to sometimes have a skill set to be able to get that, because we may not have what it takes for us. The Lord is saying, "Hey, I want you to do this. I want you to partner with me as you're hoping for this." And we're like, "Whoa, I don't know how to do that." But it's there's times when it speaks a kingdom language. See, looking for hope In the Lord, it speaks life and blessing, victory, honor, truth, power, love, favor, joy, and fulfillment. And Romans 12:2 tells us to be joyful in hope. Be joyful in hope. So if there's a situation we're facing and we don't see the end result of it, we don't see how God's going to work it out, he doesn't call us to get into this place of despair. He calls us to be joyful in that, to be joyful in waiting on him. And Hebrews 6:19 says, we have this hope as an anchor. An anchor keeps you in position. It holds you in place. So if we hold on to hope, it's going to keep us in place. It's going to keep us in that position with the Lord. You know, there's times when I was saying before, the Lord wants us to partner with him. You know, a case in point, the Lord might be calling you to fast for something. He might be calling you into a fast. And you may sneak at it. And you may think, I've never been successful at fasting. And it might be a harder fast than he's ever called you to. Well, you don't have the skill set for that. But there's a grace for that. He's going to call you into that. I ran into a guy one time, and he was complaining about his church got broken into, didn't understand it. And I really felt that I needed to challenge him to fast. And he said, look at me. He was a great big guy. And he said, I had not missed one meal in my life. You know, and later on, I see him, and he looks white as a ghost. And I said, what's going on? You okay? He said, the Lord was calling him into a three-day full fast right out of the gate. So I didn't run into him a while later, but I ran into his pastor. And he said that right at the end of those 3 days, the Lord gave him the answer for what he was looking for. So now this guy had a skill set for fasting. So he could never once again say he never fasted. And to look at him and to do a full fast, and I guess he gave a testimony about that, of what the Lord had called them to do. And sometimes the Lord might call you into tithing in the financial breakthrough. Because I've heard over the years so many times people say, I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to tithe. Because it's one of those things where God calls you to that. Mike Bickle tells a story about when he first started the Kansas City House of Prayer. A lot of local pastors were in opposition of him, and some were very vocal about it. And one had a radio spot especially and was very vocal. And he was crying out to the Lord, asking, Lord, can you just make him quiet? Can you just make him go away? You know, and he's crying out to the Lord, and he was feeling a weird opposition. Well, the Lord called Mike Bickle to not only fast, but he called him to go to this man's church on a Sunday evening service for months and to tithe into that man's ministry. And I don't think he had the skill set for that, but he went and he did it. And before long, they started a dialogue about it, because the guy saw that it wasn't anything, that Mike wasn't doing anything in opposition. He was doing it from a place of a pure heart before the Lord. And the outcome was they became great friends. And so the Lord saw that. Mike didn't have the skill set to do that, but he tithed into the man's ministry, went into his church services, and then God brought a breakthrough when he didn't see the way to do that. You know, the Lord might call you into extravagant giving. There are many in this ministry who don't look at the budget, but they look at the God of the budget. And many people in this ministry have blessed beyond the tithe, beyond the blessing, and so many things. You know, there's times the Lord might call us into extreme intercession, into travail, into places of deep prayer, where the spirit of prayer comes on you, and you may not have a skill set for that. But that is the breakthrough, the partnering that God wants for you in that place of hope. You know, there might be some that the Lord's calling you into a kingdom reconciliation. I had a friend whose wife died at 50 from complications to diabetes. And the whole thing was kind of weird, and he lost contact with his kids. They just kind of got estranged from him, his adult kids. And there was years where they didn't speak, and he lost contact with grandkids and everything. But he kept persevering, he kept persevering. And recently, he sent me a picture where he was at his granddaughter's graduation last year. And he lives in California, they live in the area. And I wrote him back and I said, so does that mean that you've reconciled with your children? He said, absolutely. He said, I never gave up hope. He always fasted, he always prayed. He knew that reconciliation was coming and he knew it would have to be on his part, but he always partnered with the Lord on how to pray. So I saw that picture, that was an incredible picture because it was a culmination of those things. If our hope is not fully on the Lord, we're at risk of living in circumstantial Christianity. Now, circumstantial Christianity is where the meter of how we are doing as a Christian is solely based on our circumstances. And I know you know people like that. If things are going good, God is good. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. You know, everything's good. The car is running. The kids are behaving. The house isn't falling apart. Praise the Lord. The minute things are going wrong, yeah, they're blaming God. And they're looking at this, and something's wrong with their friend, and something's wrong with this, and I shouldn't have bought that car, and all this stuff. So they're looking at their circumstances. And the circumstantial Christianity is gives us the license to play the victim, and it's not rooted in prayer. It's rooted in opinion. So we have to really be careful to not put our hope in other things other than the Lord, because it pulls us into circumstantial Christianity, and it keeps us away from praying, and it keeps us away from having a fasted lifestyle. It keeps us away from those things. So we need to really look at the Lord. I heard a great quote. It said, those with the most hope have the most influence. Those with the most hope have the most influence. And I'm not talking about positive thinking, positive people. There's a place for positiveness in the world. But there's a difference when you have a kingdom hope and you're walking in the fullness of kingdom hope. And people see that in you. And then you can influence them because you have that hope. You know, I get sometimes strangers come up to me and say, why do you smile so much? You know? And so it's an opportunity to say, because I belong to Jesus, and I'm going to be with him forever, you know, and I was lost, and now I'm found, you know, and why shouldn't I smile? Because Jesus lives, you know, and then they go on shopping or go away from me, but at least I got a chance to tell them, right? See, there's people in our lives around us that are aching for hope. They're looking at your lives, and they're watching, and they're wanting to see how you respond in adverse situations. They really are. Because if you're supposed to be a Christian, then you should have hope. And they want to look and see what that looks like. They're looking at you to model that for them. So if they're going to buy in, they need to know that it works. They need to know that it works. So if you're falling apart and you're having a meltdown, you know, and it's just not a good witness. My wife and I one time were in a dollar store, and this guy was just really berating his girlfriend. And then one of the workers got involved, and it exploded into this yelling, screaming, cussing match. And out of his mouth comes, and I'm a Christian. And then she says, so am I. And me and Nancy are like, so are we. Hope, just hide us, Lord. We don't want to get in on this situation here. We're like, ah. But that it grieves me when this meltdown happens. And there were other people in the store. So what were they saying? What was the verdict in their heart to say, yeah, I want to be a Christian like those two? You know, where was the hope that they were looking for? Maybe they were this close to becoming Christians, and then they witnessed that. In Zechariah 9:12, it's a great verse. It says, return to the stronghold, O prisoners who have the hope. And some translations say, O prisoners of hope. This very day I am declaring that I will restore double to you. You know, if you look at that, a prisoner of hope, you're bound to hope. You're shackled to it. If you're a prisoner, you're bound to it. Are you a prisoner of hope? Are you bound to it? Are we right there? It says that I'll restore double to you. You know, there's such a biblical restoration in the Bible. It's so amazing to me, because when you look at Job 13:15, he says, though he slay me, most of the translations say, yet I will hope in him. Some say, yet I will praise him. But most of them, I found, says, yet I will hope in him, though he slay me. So Job lost everything, and God restored to him double, right? The temple of Solomon was destroyed, and it was rebuilt at twice the size. So that's kind of a biblical restoration economy that God has. So there's sometimes, if you're suffering loss, you say, I'm in a good position for God to double stuff for me. Amen, right? If you're facing loss of any kind, just stand on that biblical truth that says, Lord, your biblical restoration says you bring double. So, Lord, I'm standing and I'm receiving double in Jesus' name. Amen? Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled in hope and abound in hope. You know, there's times I call it the big thing prayer. As Christians, we need to stop judging God for the way he answers our big thing prayer. You know, we're praying for that big thing, right? We're praying for that big thing. And if God doesn't come in a big way to answer that big thing that we're contending for, then we kind of lose our way. All the time we're missing all the big ways that God is answering the little things in our lives on a constant, everyday basis. So he's answering in a big way, the little things. I was on the phone with a friend yesterday talking about how they were on the bypass and there was a crazy accident, and it defied logic how God spared all of them in this whole row. And Tuesday night I left here and pulled out on the highway, and two cars were racing and going 90 miles an hour, went around me. And one guy lost control and they were spinning around, and I thought he was going to come right back at me when his tires caught, but he spun out some more and went off the road. And I just thank you, Jesus. You know, because there's times when things are out of our control around us. You know, but how many times do we walk in the favor of the Lord because our hope is in him, that we are protected? I believe when we get to glory, the Lord's going to hand us a DVD of the thousands of times that we've been spared from accidents and things that we never even knew about. But his favor and his eye was upon us because our hope is in him. The big thing, prayer, the thing is, when it doesn't come the way that we think it does, sometimes we judge God, we second guess him. And I've seen people put God on trial the way that he answers prayer. Well, maybe this or maybe that. You know, and they try to psychoanalyze that. Just trust God, because sometimes his perfect timing is his perfect timing. And we have to be okay with that. And sometimes he answers in the first hour, and a lot of times the 11th hour, sometimes in the 20th hour. But when it comes, and it's undeniably him, it stirs up that hope in you that, you know what, this is the way that God chose to answer that. This is the way that he desired to do that. You know, when I look at some of the people in the Bible of how they found their hope in the Lord, look at Moses. He hid in the desert for 40 years, and then he sees the burning bush. Boy, that was God's partnering plan with him, wasn't it? This burning bush getting his attention. You know, he felt inadequate as a speaker. You know, he's trying to talk God out of using him. You know, and then how many times would you like to have been the one to have to confront Pharaoh through all those plagues? I got to go again, and now I got to tell, you know, the flies and this and that. All these different things to have to be able to tell Pharaoh. But then finally he's with the people, and then their backs are to the wall, the Red Sea's there, and that whole amazing thing of him parting the Red Sea, of the way that God did that. You know what I mean? That was Moses was the only one that stood in hope with the Lord. Everybody else had said, you brought us here to die. You know, and here he was, fully engaged in hope in the Lord, and then he does that. Look at Abraham. The Lord told him to go, and he'd show him the way. How many of us would be comfortable with that? We don't really like when the Lord says go, and we don't have a plan, right? We want a plan. We want a, you know, all marked down sub-plan and everything. It's really hard to go when we don't know where we're going. And then he calls him the father of many nations, and he doesn't have any children. So then he has the promised son. Then he tells him to sacrifice it. But all the time, God had a plan. God had a plan with providing the sacrifice for him. And I just think all the times that Abraham was challenged by the Lord. And then Daniel, you know, here they make a decree to catch Daniel. And I know many of you are in workplaces and in family. People try to trap you to get caught so that you look silly in your Christianity, or they want you to get caught in a compromising situation. They try to set you up. People are constantly trying to set you up, so they want to water down your witness so that they feel better about themselves and their lack of witness. So here's Daniel. They trap him that he shouldn't pray. And what does he do? He prays, because that's how he honors the Lord, and that's where his place is. And so he does that. And so one of the things, when he goes to the lion's den, what's really interesting is something jumped off the page to me today. When King Darius had to give that decree, he fasted. He fasted for Daniel. And so then he answers him in the morning. And so look at the plan that the Lord had for him. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I love what they say to him. Our God is able to save. But even if he doesn't, we won't bow down to your image. So their hope was in God. Whether he spared them or not, they were not going to waver from the hope that they had in their God. Amen. Nehemiah went through so much to rebuild his wall, to rebuild the wall. I mean, trusting, you know, he had to show his emotion in front of a king that didn't serve the Lord. It was risky as a cupbearer. You didn't really show emotion because they thought, well, something's wrong with the food and I'm not going to eat it, you know. So he went ahead and just, you know, Nehemiah stood the course. He had to do so many things. So much opposition came, but the Lord gave him all that he needed. And then there's Gideon, mighty man of valor. Gideon's like, whatever, you know. He's like, we're the least of the least, the smallest of the clan, this and that. I've heard stories of God doing this and that, but he's not feeling it in that moment. But God had a plan. God had a plan for him that one day Gideon's going to feel like that mighty man of valor, right? And so he had to go through all the fleeces, all these things. But God had a plan of him constantly partnering with him to where he got a point where God got the glory, and then Gideon felt like that mighty man of valor. How God declared that over him. And then all the prophets just put all the prophets on a page and point at any one of them. They all went through so much as God's voice, as his mouthpiece. They all went through so much. And then Apostle Paul, he went from a hope in a religious system to a hope in Jesus. You know, on a Damascus Road experience, his hope shifted. And then Peter went from walking on water to falling in the water. But then there was a point when he was delivered from jail by an angel because people were praying. They didn't see the result of their prayer. He's knocking at the door and they're not going to let him in. I just think that's the funniest story ever in the Bible. It's like, it's really me. He'll let me in. But so here's Peter. It's so much opposition. Peter says things, you know, really quickly before the Lord. And the Lord chastises him a couple times. But yet, you know, I wonder what that was like for him to be delivered by that angel in the midst of that. That was God's plan for him. That was God's hope for him. So those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Psalm 25 says, my hope is in you all day long, God. Those who hope in your unfailing love. In Psalm 52, it says, in your name I will hope. Psalm 71, 14 says, but as for me, I will always have hope. In Jeremiah 29, 11, how many times did we say that one over us? Plan to give you hope in the future, right? We have put our hope in the living God while we wait for the blessed hope. So I just want you to be encouraged today as the Lord really calls you into a place of having to be a witness for the hope that you have, to be an ambassador of hope. But if there's something on your heart to really pray for today, I just want you to come on up. Michael, are you still on? Just want to go into a time of prayer, just to be able to, if there's something that you've been contending for a while and you're just really pressing into the Lord about it, and allow us the grace, our ministry team, to be able to partner with you in prayer about that. You know, there's times, I know many of you here are just facing a lot of crazy situations, but God is faithful and he is good and he wants you to walk in the fullness of having our hope in him. But there's times when there's just something about partnering with people that are like-minded and like-hearted to be able to say, you know what, this is what I'm contending for. This is what I'm hoping for. This is a situation we're facing. Can you pray with me? Can you contend with me on that? So I just want you to be able to do that. So you can come on up at any time. So Lord, we just thank you for your hope. We thank you, Lord, that our hope is in you all day long, God. It is in you and you alone. And in your name we will hope, God. We will always have hope. You give us a plan for a hope in the future. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, will mount up as wings as eagles. We put our hope and our trust in your word, God. We thank you, Lord. We say yes, Lord. We will be your ambassadors of hope, God. We will show a lost and dying world that we trust in you, God. No matter what we face, God, we know that you have a plan for us. Give us the strength and ability to partner with you in that plan, God. Help us to be agents of your hope, God, administering to your hope to a lost and dying world, always being ready at any time to give a reason for the hope that we have in you, God. We thank you, Lord, for sparing us from so many things that we don't even know about. Thank you for your watchful hand upon our lives, God. Jesus, thank you for your suffering. Thank you for dying for us and rising. Thank you, Lord, for all that you accomplished for us, Lord. And our hope is in you all day long, God. We give you thanks, God. We give you thanks. close this out. We're going to keep praying up here. We're going to keep this as a place of prayer up here. But if you need to leave, it's going to go ahead and dismiss you. Lord, we thank you for this day in your house, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the hope that we have in you, Lord. We give you thanks and praise. Lord, I ask that you bless all those as they go on their way today, Lord, that you keep us safe and in you. I ask your blessing upon each and every one as they go their way. In Jesus' name, amen.